Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. Let's check out what's been happening in the marketplace with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd. It's a sunny, warm day for a change.
It is a beautiful day, and I know it's making farmers get out and about, and they're probably getting the planters all cleaned up and ready to go and greased and tractors hooked up, and, well, it's going to rain.
Pulling their children out of the fields after they get stuck, something like that.
Yeah. That's not on the little four-wheelers, but yeah, something along those lines. Hey, before we get started with the futures markets, just a reminder, and Dave Dickey will tell us this too during the newscast, but on Sunday evening, the markets don't open as they usually have, and I don't know what you call usual from the CME
yeah.
group at the moment,
right.
but we have new times, and we go from, what, 7 in the evening now to 7:45 the following morning.
Correct.
That's electronic trade. And then we pause, and then both the electronic and the open outcry trade together from 8:30, which is an hour earlier than the normal opening. It'll be the normal opening, I suppose. So they open at 8:30, and then they'll close back up at what had been for decades the normal closing time at 1:15 in the afternoon.
That's right. Yeah, and the mini size greens go back to 1:45 like they used to be, too. So kind of a nice, refreshing change back to hopefully a time where, you know, maybe some of the algo traders and some of these low-latency computerized model traders will not want to participate as much in the trade, I think, Todd, because they like the trade to be open all the time, and that way they don't have fits and starts in their computer model. So I'm hoping that maybe this is a pleasant, you know, change back to maybe what commodities are more suited for, especially agricultural commodities.
We'll find out as we make our way through the next several weeks. The one thing that won't have changed at that point is USDA reports, like the WASDE numbers that are due out next week, will come out at 11 o'clock. That started in January of this year and will remain. And I don't think USDA has any intention of going back and changing that, but maybe they will.
Yeah, I doubt it. I think, you know, in fact, the pre-estimates for the upcoming WASDE report came out from a couple different news wires today, and I think that might have been part of the reason why the new crop corn got hit a little extra hard, because the noontime weather model sure didn't change much. They still are looking at a nice warm-up, but right after that warm-up comes pretty heavy rains for certain parts of the middle part of the country, Missouri, Tennessee, Kentucky, those early planting areas, and then we get another cold shot, it looks like, you know, coming in to mid to later next week. So we came in with an 824 million bushel average guess for old crop corn, and I suspect the wheels in Chicago were starting to turn, that 824 plus another big crop, maybe we'll be able to push over 2 billion bushels again on the new crop, and I think maybe they priced some of that in today.
And that would be for the end of the year or the fall of 2014
yeah.
by the time we got there. But we haven't seen a 2 billion bushel carryout in I don't remember how long now. It's a long time.
It has been a long time, probably the early 2000s, I'm guessing, yeah.
Yeah, so that'd be a big, big number, and I suppose would really put the lid on December futures and out. More so than a $5.35, you think?
Well, here's the thing I think's happening, and this is one of the things that really takes some time to work through, I think, you know, from a standpoint of a producer. But remember what the wheat did earlier this year when the trade was thinking much bigger supplies coming on weaker demand. They took that inversion and that premium in the front end and returned us back to a carrying charge market and put the premium into the July. I think corn is in the middle of that. You know, we went from $1.50 July Dease corn spread premium to the July to now down to almost 75 cents for the weekly low today. So yesterday we essentially took half of the premium and the inversion out of the July Dease corn spread. My sense is that if we don't have a lot of planting delays, they're going to try and continue to work that type of philosophy, because they did it in the wheat, and they'll actually take the front end down really hard but leave the SEP and Dease alone for a time period until we get to maybe July 4th holiday. So I think before we start talking downside potential in Dease corn, I think maybe the front end has most of the work to do to return us back to a carrying charge market. Because we get 2 billion bushels, we're going to have the elevator system wanting us to store quite a bit on farm.
There are farmers out there, especially those who still own old crop, that don't like what you just said, I'm sure.
No.
And are convinced that there's just not the crop around. Of course, they're also holding it, but I'm wondering, do you really, I suppose you think that's a possibility. How much of a possibility?
Well, this is where it goes back to. We talked a lot about this at some of these meetings we did, you and I did with some other folks, you know, before the big report came out. And it was just, the bottom line was that 750 cash market in the middle part of the country was just too much for the demand side to take. So you needed to feed the bull in that grain stocks report. So having said that, the answer that I believe to your question is, if you can get the cash basis to get back on track and get back to the way it was a month or month and a half ago, and essentially say that the USDA report was wrong on grain stocks because we can't find the corn out there, then I think holding that old crop makes sense. And I'm telling my producers right now that I work with, I don't want to sell any old crop corn. I don't want to sell any new crop corn in the cash market. Do everything on paper. Why? Because the grain stocks report doesn't jive. When you look at the top nine states in the Corn Belt, which is about 85% of the total grain stocks are held in those nine states, six of those nine are within 100 million bushels of the 1996 grain stocks, not the 2004 grain stocks. So I think we are closer to 1996. We just have to work through the trade and work through the report and see what the cash market wants to do. So I don't mind hedging on paper in case I'm wrong and we do go back to a carrying charge market, but I'm real reluctant to sell any cash at this point.
All right, so you think possibility of going down through April, May, June, maybe even into parts of July, but that at some point it will either look like we've got a big crop facing us and we're going to make it all the way there, or we're simply going to be too short and the cash market will jump in and fix that problem.
Exactly, and at the same time, you're starting to work, you start to work, the wheels start to turn, and you start to work the idea that we didn't get all the acres we needed and the yield isn't as good, and all of a sudden that 2 billion bushel carryover that we tried to price in, mainly through the old crop, all of a sudden gets drilled down below 1.5 billion bushels, and you're talking again about $6 Dease corn. So That's kind of the, I mean, that's the type of volatility this report last week brought us. And unfortunately, the bird flu issue is the downside volatility in this market that no one can get their hands around because we don't know how serious it's going to get. And many people would say, well, don't worry about the corn. It's really about the soy market. That's true. But remember that meal market tends to influence the corn quite a bit as well. So that seemed to be a big issue this week, especially.
That was playing well on the news and in Chicago, both bird flu, of course, a different strain of bird flu than they've seen before, not one that has transferred, at least until this time around, into the human population that's happening in China. And at this point is pretty isolated in just one area, but bird flu tends to move fairly quickly, I think.
Yeah, and it's not the time of year to have this spread because they tend to heat up and get a lot more humid. And, you know, this is the time of year where it does spread pretty quickly. And that the talk is that this is spreading through pigeons also, and that really
right.
disturbs you too because you know how far they travel. So this could be a big issue. It could be nothing. You know, that's where it's a real question mark right now. I think a week from today or maybe 2 weeks from today, I think we'll have a better handle on it because you'll probably be past some of the North Korean news. You'll probably be past some of the bird flu news. And so some of these what they call black swan events out there looming, maybe we'll be able to get a better handle on, along with what kind of planning delays we're facing, too.
Yeah, I think it's passing through pigeons, but if I recall correctly from listening to Dave's news, and of course it's pre-recorded, it's squab as opposed to, so it's pigeons raised for meat.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Exactly right. Yep.
I suppose they still travel.
Yeah, they still try and fly away when you kill them.
Maybe so. Anything on livestock before I let you go?
Well, they had a tough day because the equities markets, and you know, you're hoping if you're a hog producer right now, you got close to mid-90s on the June and July hogs. You're hoping if you're a hog producer, this is just a correction on the daily charts, that you've got good demand underneath you and tighter numbers coming, but you're real vulnerable. So next week at this time, you better be back up and testing some of the highs that we just tested earlier this week.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great day.
You too. That's Mike Zuzalo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana.